Greetings to the Path family. Our slogan at the Path is meeting you where you are. We invite you to follow, share, and check us out on social media. You may connect with us at any time, anywhere, on Facebook at The Path Church or Instagram and Twitter at Join the Path. Without further delay, enjoy this week's sermon.
One of my favorite shows on TV right now is called New Amsterdam. It's a medical drama inspired by the oldest public hospital in our nation. It's Bellevue Hospital in New York City. And the main character, the star of the show, is Dr. Max Goodwin. And he's the young new medical director who is constantly stirring things up as he tries to get his staff to focus on the most important thing, keeping the patients first and meeting their needs above everything else. I love watching and learning from his leadership, especially in tough situations, and how he is changing the culture and leading the people and making an impact. And I know it's a fictional story. I get it. But I'm telling you, it just calls out to my idealistic and optimistic nature. And there's one question that he asks in just about every episode. In just about every episode, he asks this question that has stuck with me. It's a question that I hope that we, the church, will embrace.
How can I help? How can I help? How can I help?
How can I help? Romans chapter 15, starting in verse 1 of the Message version, says this: those of us who are strong and able in the faith need to step in and lend a hand to those who falter, and not just do what is most convenient for us. Strength is for service, not status. Each of us needs to look after the good of the people around us, asking ourselves, how can I help? Now, I wonder if the writers of New Amsterdam knew this scripture, right? If they read the Message version of Romans 15, 2. And outside of How Can I Help, which is the title of my message today, I'm also struck by another line in this passage, and that is when it says, strength is for service, not status. You see, we all have strengths. The question is, how are we using our strengths? How are we using the gifts and the skills and abilities that we have, the resources that we have been given by God? In the book of Nehemiah, we learn about a biblical and historical leader who led the effort to rebuild the walls around Jerusalem and to rebuild the temple. You see, after the exile, the Israelites were allowed to return home, but the city and the temple, it lay in ruins. And after crying out to God in prayer, Nehemiah decided that he was going to do something about it. And God provided everything he needed to get the job done. After that, Ezra stepped in, and he was a scribe that helped the people get back to building a spiritual foundation and back to really worshiping God with their lives. So not just building the walls in the temple, but building up their spiritual lives as well. And in Nehemiah 10, the people actually make a decision and they write out an agreement as to who they wanted to be and what they wanted to prioritize as a people. They promised to make sure that their kids and they did not intermarry with the people around them who worshiped idols. They decided to not conduct any business on Sabbath days or any holy days. They actually decided that every 7 years they would let the land rest and not work the land, and that they would also cancel all debts. Whew, I wish we had that one now. They also assumed the responsibility to give money toward the service of the house of God and to give their first fruits every single year and to contribute a tithe of their crops. And they ended this written agreement with the words, "We will not neglect the house of our God." I love that. I love that conviction. And then it was time to put their plan into practice. It was time to put their plan into action. But there was one problem. Once Jerusalem had been rebuilt, it was missing the most important thing: people. You know, in Charles Swindoll's book, Hand Me Another Brick, he explains that the city had been a pile of debris without a wall for 160 years. And we know that the walls were there to protect the people from attacks. So anyone foolish enough to live there would have been easy prey for burglars and robbers. Plus, it required a ton of work to build a life in the city. But there was all this land outside of the walls that required little or no clearing at all and would better support the cultivation of crops. So the Jews who returned from exile built spacious, lavishly furnished homes in the suburbs. According to Nehemiah chapter 11, verse 1, the leaders of the people were the first to move into the city. And I love that because as leaders, we should be going first, right? We should be setting the example and sacrificing in order to get something going that God has put on our hearts. And then what they did was they cast lots to bring 1 out of 10 people into the urban area. It was kind of like when the U.S. government drafted men into the military during the Vietnam War. If your number was called, you had to go move into the city. But when we look at verse 2, we find there was another group who moved into the city, a group that volunteered. It says in verse 2, and the people commended everyone who volunteered to resettle in Jerusalem. And they were like, God bless them. Woo, them folks want to go. They can go. You know, they were convicted. You know, when you see somebody's life or they make a decision, you're like, I don't know if I can do all that. They're like, God bless them. Go ahead. May the Lord bless you. But I want to take a look, take a deeper look into this passage. The word used here for volunteered is a Hebrew word that means to impel or to incite from within, to make willing. In other words, deep down inside, these volunteers were impelled by God to move. And they did. These were the people that when they saw a need, they approached the leaders and asked, how can I help? Now, the rest of Nehemiah 11 reveals to us that everyone who moved into the city had a role to play in rebuilding the city. Some are mentioned by name and some are still unknown, but they were all willing. Now, in addition to the group who willingly moved into the city, in verse 10, we learn about a group of 822 people, including some priests who willingly worked within the temple. So they took care of the building. There's another group found in verse 15. It tells us about the Levites and leaders of the Levites who were in charge of the outside work of the house of God. Now, this wasn't just landscaping, mowing the lawn. These were the leaders who served as judges and handled civil affairs, counseled and ministered to the people outside of the place of worship. In verse 17, we meet Mattaniah, the director who led in thanksgiving and prayer. I mean, he probably couldn't preach or teach or sing, but that brother was grateful and he was a prayer warrior. And as always, the unsung hero of the church is the kneeling saint. Finally, in verse 22, it tells us about the musicians for the services of the house of God, folks who wanted to contribute their talent to worship God and to encourage the people. These were the artists, the creatives who said, we want to be able to encourage the people with our talents. So these people, once living in the suburbs, saw a need. And they moved into the inner city. They responded to that need. And once they got there, they served willingly and generously. Now, here's the thing. Had they never volunteered, the city would not have prospered. Nor could it have withstood the enemy attacks that came in later years. And so there's a lesson there that as we serve, as we volunteer our hearts and our time and our money, there's an impact that happens in the moment, but there's an impact that will happen in years to come. We never know how our decisions now will impact the future and make a difference in the next generation. So let's make things a little bit personal now. Let's do a little bit of a heart check today. So before we ask, how can I help? We may need to ask ourselves, how am I unwilling to help? What are the things that I just can't see myself doing right now? And we got to be real with ourselves so we can attack the areas of our heart that need to change. So here's a good place to start. I'm going to ask you a series of questions, and I want you to just gauge how your heart responds to them. If there was a need for you to move into the neighborhood around our new church building, would you be willing? If there was a need to maintain the bathrooms and clean the toilets at our new building, would you be willing? If there was a need for you to go into the full-time ministry or to start a mission team and go plant a church, even a virtual church, would you be willing? If there was a need for you to fundraise, to help raise money for the church, would you be willing? If there was a need for you to facilitate a small group, to be a small group leader, would you be willing? If there was a need for you to mow the lawn and trim the hedges at the building, would you be willing? You see, as disciples of Jesus Christ who have submitted ourselves to him and to his mission, there shouldn't be any limits as to what we would do for God. And let me tell you, I love that old saying that as disciples, we should be willing to go anywhere, to do anything, to give up everything for our Lord Jesus Christ. When we see a need, the question should not be if we can help. It should be how can we help? And how you can help may look a little different now that we're in a pandemic. You know, before COVID hit, we had a nice list of volunteer teams, and we had the ones that served on Sunday mornings and the ones that required time outside of the Sunday services. But now, serving the church, meeting the needs of the body, looks totally different. But let me tell you, in the same way that Nehemiah 11 had a list of people who willingly and generously volunteered to meet the needs, we have a similar list. We do. People like Roland Alexander, who willingly volunteered to lead the home team and who has been instrumental in not only purchasing the building, but leading us through the renovation process. Now, he and his wife, Catrice, have decided to take the lead on our business team, a team we are now putting together to think of ideas to be able to start and think about ways to build revenue for the church building, like to ways like a daycare center or a coffee shop, or even to look into grants. And so we need business savvy people to ask, how can I help? Speaking of the daycare center, the Chisholms have willingly volunteered to head that up. Now, they've never started a daycare before. They don't know what goes into it, but they decided they were going to take the skills they do have, what they've learned in their jobs and their careers over the years, the experience and wisdom that they have, and they're willing to learn what they need to learn in order to serve in this way. We're going to need people to ask, how can I help? I got to mention the social media time, the social media team. I mean, my goodness, their responsibilities multiplied almost overnight. And with Brianna, the social media director, she was on maternity leave. And these volunteers, this team willingly stepped up and held it down. It's been amazing. Now we're starting a new creative team, a think tank that Quay Manuel has agreed to oversee so we can keep our content fresh and engaging. We need creative people to ask, how can I help? How about our medical response team? Wow. I mean, they have helped us to navigate through such a difficult time. They willingly came together at a moment's notice to be able to help us navigate this pandemic, help us to stay safe and healthy and still be about God's work and the mission. And I am so grateful for our medical response team. I don't know what we would have done without you. You know, and to be honest, this is a short list of a much longer list of willing unknowns. Volunteers who have sacrificed this year to meet needs that we've never had before. And I'm so honored to be part of this church. I have seen God through you. So thank you. Thank you for being disciples of Jesus. And at the same time, I want to encourage everyone to have this heart. this way of Christ, the pathway. I want us all to embrace it. I want to especially encourage our new Christians who have been baptized in the last few years to ask, how can I help? And I want to encourage our mature Christians to help mobilize the next generation of servants. We can do this by bringing our new brothers and sisters along with us as we serve. Don't just tell them what to do. Bring them along with you. Have them walk with you, and along the way, give them opportunities to use their gifts for God. That's part of teaching them to obey everything that Jesus commanded, as it says in Matthew chapter 28. You know, the same Hebrew word for volunteer that's in Nehemiah 10 and 11 is also in Exodus 36. And this is a time after the Israelites had been freed from Egyptian slavery. Moses had just crossed over the Red Sea. Moses went on top of Mount Sinai, got the commandments, and then God tells them to build a tabernacle, a tent. And this tent of meeting would be where God's presence would dwell with his people, and also where the people would come and offer sacrifices and be able to worship God. Check out what it says here in Exodus 36 and verse 2. Then Moses summoned Bezalel and Oholiab and every skilled person to whom the Lord had given ability and who was willing to come and do the work. They received from Moses all the offerings the Israelites had brought to carry out the work of constructing the sanctuary. And the people continued to bring free will offerings morning after morning. So all the skilled workers who were doing all the work on the sanctuary left what they were doing and said to Moses, "The people are bringing more than enough for doing the work the Lord has commanded to be done." Then Moses gave an order, and they sent this word throughout the camp: "No man or woman is to make anything else as an offering for the sanctuary." And so the people were restrained from bringing more because what they already had was more than enough to do all the work. Wow! What an amazing problem to have. Moses literally had to tell the people to stop giving. We have enough. We have more than we need. And what I see here is just the incredible impact of willing and generous hearts. And you know what I think happened? I think that as they started giving towards the work, God continued to bless them. So they kept giving, and God continued to bless them. So they kept giving. And after a while, I was like, we don't need any more. Thank you. But hold on to it. We may need it later. Right now, we need to get the work done that needs to be done. My prayer is that we could have that type of an experience here, that we can experience that type of generosity here at the Path Church. You know, we've been talking about what it means to serve as a community. But for all of us, this heart for serving has to be lived out at home first. And I want to encourage all the parents of school-aged children, those who have loved their children and have served their kids in new ways and have helped them to just learn the things they have to learn so they can be the very best that they could be during this pandemic. Believe me, it's been tough. I know it's been hard. I want to encourage you, parents. You've been doing a great job. Thank you for setting such a great example at home of asking that question. How can I help? Whatever is needed, I'm going to do to help my children. I want to encourage my wife, Christina. She has been amazing, an amazing teacher here at home as our kids did virtual learning. She has been incredible. She has held it down, and she's been so passionate about making sure that the children continue to thrive. So thank you, honey. I am so grateful for all that you do. And with the holidays coming up, I want to encourage everybody to take this servant attitude with us wherever we go. Some of us, we're worried about going back to family and having some political conversations and ideological arguments, but how about we prepare ourselves to serve, all right? How about we prepare ourselves to ask the question, how can I help? You know, as we set our hearts to give during this Thanksgiving season, you should remember the words of the Lord Jesus. It is more blessed to give than to receive. That is Acts chapter 20, verse 35. And today Xavier Hill gets to see this scripture come to life in his life as he gets to experience the blessing of salvation in the waters of baptism. Xavier is one of Dr. Patterson's former students at Morehouse who has a heart to serve. They connected randomly on Facebook a few months back, and Mike learned that that Xavier has a passion to teach people financial literacy. And so Mike asked him to come and help the boys and do a workshop for the boys at Best Academy High School. And that's what Xavier did. And he came and did a great job. And after he did that workshop, he continued to reach out to Mike, and he had questions about the Bible and history. And Mike was able to help him and set him up to start studying the Bible, getting into the scriptures, learning about what it means to have a relationship with God. And he pulled Chris in and he pulled Chase in, and these brothers have been in there helping Xavier learn what it means to make Jesus Lord of his life, learn what it means to repent, to change from pursuing the world and starting to pursue God. And he's done that. He has turned away from the world and he has turned towards God, and he is making a commitment today to follow Jesus and to give everything up, right? To do anything, to give up everything for Jesus. And today he will be baptized for the forgiveness of his sin, and he will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you, Xavier is super talented. He has all these different ventures going on. I mean, I called him the other day. I said, "What are you doing, Xavier?" "Oh, I'm building a computer." "Really? Like, just, I didn't even, what? Okay, you're building a computer. All right." But guess what? He has decided to use his strength for serving, not status. And that's the heart of a disciple. The other day, I'm in a rental car because I got in a little car wreck, and I didn't really gauge the way my gas tank was working. And so I ended up running out of gas. The first time I've run out of gas in years. And so I'm on 85 South, right outside the city. And I pull over and I called the hero unit, and I'm like, "Oh man," they say they're going to come. But I was waiting and waiting. I said, "Who lives near the city? Who may be available?" And God put Xavier on my heart and said, "Xavier, what you doing, man?" He said, "Oh, I'm just at home finishing up some work." He said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm on the side of the road, man. I just ran out of gas." He said, "Send me your location. You got an old iPhone, right? Send me your location. I'm coming right now." He showed up with a gallon of gas and helped me get that gas in there, helped me and followed me to the gas station to make sure I was all right. You know, his heart to serve literally opened the door to experience the blessing of salvation. It is truly more blessed to give than to receive. And if you want to experience these blessings, I want to challenge you.
Get ready for the next battle.
This week to ask at least one person, "How can I help?" All right? I hope you will accept my challenge. And I know that you will see the blessings that come as a result. You know, as we take communion and remember our Lord, I want us to meditate on Philippians chapter 2, verse 5-10. I want us to get our cracker or bread ready and the juice ready. We know the cracker represents the body of Jesus that was broken for us. And the juice represents the blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross for our sin. And we want to take this time to remember Jesus, who came not to be served, but to serve, a king who made himself nothing. And that's what it talks about here in Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 5. "In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Even though he was in very nature God, He humbled himself and became a servant. The lower he became, the higher God exalted him. And I believe the same could be said about us once we choose and we decide to ask that question, how can I help? Let's go ahead and pray. Father God, we love you and we are so grateful for you. We thank you so much for Jesus and we thank you so much for the example that he set. And he came down as a king and came down to serve us as a servant. I'm blown away by that. I'm blown away by his humility. I thank you, God, that not only did he serve people as he walked this earth, he serves us right now by dying on the cross, the way he humbled himself, the way he served in that moment is still bearing fruit today with us because of his life and his death and his burial and his resurrection, we too can have new life. And so I thank you for that. And I pray that we can follow his example, God. And I pray that this week, as we ask people, how can I help? And as we go into the holidays, and I pray that we could just be motivated by a spirit of gratitude to serve others, God. And I pray that as a church, we will be known as a church who helps, as a church who asks that question, how can I help? We love you, God, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. New sermons are uploaded each Monday morning. Simply search The Path Church Atlanta in iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting service. Additionally, we greatly appreciate your feedback on iTunes. If you would like to learn more about The Path, we encourage you to visit www.thepath.church. We hope to fellowship with you soon.